word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As ever-emerging spiritual creatures, we cannot contain ourselves, the selves God has created us to be. Coming out as people and as a church from what we have known into a new identity is often filled with anxiety and unfamiliarity. Emerging will take effort and surrendering to the assurance of things hoped for, even though we cannot yet see what the future holds. Fortunately, you might say, we are not the first humans to leave our comfortable, although dark, places in search of more light. The Bible is full of stories about faithful men and women, much like us, who ventured into a mysterious unknown, clinging only to their faith. Their experiences don't keep us from the fright of the unknown, but their experiences can teach us how to embrace the unknown and the unfamiliar rather than remain comfortably shrouded in protection. The caterpillar faced the unknown as it's transformed into a chrysalis or a type of cocoon. It entered the dark, and science tells us that the caterpillar actually turns to goo. Now, we have our butterfly, our butterfly expert over here, Jenny. That's what I deemed you last Sunday, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. Jenny's taught me a lot about the monarch butterfly, especially when we've been at Crislin, because that's one of the perfect places to find the monarch butterfly. Now, she didn't tell me about the goo that they become, but she tells me that the cocoons are often, well, do you know what kind of plant they're often on? Milkweed, that's right. And she did her best effort to find us some milkweed this morning so I could show you, but they're not quite ready. So until we get the milkweed, which she has said she will continue to look for, and we appreciate. But I learned yesterday that caterpillars turn into goo, which sounds really gross. The caterpillar releases enzymes that cause that said caterpillar to turn into a goo-like substance. Ew. And yet there came a day when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. This quote by writer Anais Nin speaks profoundly to our current theme in worship: emerge. And so a caterpillar forms a chrysalis and stays inside for a time while the magical process of metamorphosis occurs. And a day comes when that protective shell is too constricting and that butterfly must break free. What an amazing, amazing recollection of the way God created this world, the very specifics of each animal and the very specifics of us. And so today we gather to encourage one another out of our comfortable places so that we may truly bloom. This passage we read from Hebrews is at the root of our definition of faith: the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This, of course, is referring to God's revelation in Jesus Christ. The resurrection was witnessed by no one, and Jesus only visited a few people before he ascended into heaven, pierced hands and all. So for all of the new followers of Jesus, faith was required when they had not seen with their own eyes Jesus' signs, and they had not heard with their own words Jesus' teachings, and not felt in their own hearts Jesus' love. And while this passage in Hebrews is hopeful and reassures early believers to have faith in this miraculous event that is the cornerstone of Christian belief, I've always liked it because I think the word faith applies to an even deeper spiritual truth that we Christians believe in miracles. We believe in things hoped for, and we are convicted of things not yet seen. Outside of the confessions of doctrine, What if our faith could be the energy we utilize to strive for a future that isn't there yet? To actively and wholeheartedly believe that it is actually possible for miracles to occur through faith in God. Some of you remember challenges that hit this church unexpectedly and the miracle-type solutions that came by God to overcome the challenges. To believe in things hoped for are high stakes to commit to, about as high as a stake as a caterpillar's dream to fly. But when the caterpillar commits in faith to this dream of flight, it has to undergo a metamorphosis, and in doing so becomes incredibly vulnerable to parasites who might find a chrysalis an excellent place to put their offspring, which feed off of the unformed body of the potential butterfly within. And this risk is to say nothing of the fact that the caterpillar undergoes the complete transformation of turning into the chrysalis, effectively becoming goo within it as it metamorphoses into a butterfly. I imagine the caterpillar needs faith, a conviction of flight not yet seen. What courage it must take to enter into the pupal stage on the way to becoming a butterfly. But let's turn this metaphor towards ourselves. What pupal stage, that in-between time of metamorphosis, are we being called into, where we become a cocoon in order to eventually emerge as a butterfly? And what courage do we need to come out of the protective encasing of a chrysalis? Admittedly, all too often, we get pretty comfortable just being the goo, don't we? We'd rather feel like goo than maybe enter the future of the unknown. But the good news is that we never transform alone. We are in it together. We are created to be in relationship with others, and we aren't expected to have all the answers. We are simply called to be curious, because curiosity allows us to be Christians in this moment in a way we have never thought before. And so the thing to remember about this passage in Hebrews is that the author has written it to convince Jews about the power of Jesus. Doing so, of course, would put Jews in an even more precarious position. Early Christianity was a time of religious persecution. Believing and living as if they believed Jesus was the resurrected Messiah would be risky. In some places, it even might put them in trouble with the law or even death. Such vulnerability, like becoming a chrysalis and taking time to transform into a butterfly and then leave the comfort of the chrysalis, is understandably terrifying. But if this metaphor says anything to us, it is that the rewards are incredible. From crawling on the leaves of a milkweed plant to taking flight and migrating across a continent, the monarch butterfly shows us the incredible possibilities that come with taking the risk of changing and then going forth being changed. Just think of how powerful a courageous church with faith to be transformed by a God-given vision for its future could be. For what kind of things hope for, things not yet seen, can our church have assurance and conviction enough to take risks and possibly take flight by committing to them with faith? At some point, everyone in the Bible is traveling somewhere, motivated by God's promise of something new over the next hill. I think about Abraham and many others as they saw themselves as strangers and foreigners on the earth, whose home was somewhere beyond the map, but still with God. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, called them and us to move out of the comfort zone, to see danger not in moving out, but in staying put. Abraham chose to get out, to follow God's lead, to undertake the great adventure because of his faith in the promises of God, no matter how improbable they seem to be. But Abraham died before the promises were fully realized, but he saw the potential from a distance. It reminds me of Moses and the Israelites as well. What is it that enables us to experience and explore the goodness of God in the midst of life's greatest difficulties? And how can we let God do the best of things in our lives in the worst of times in our lives? The writer of Hebrews tells us how this morning. It comes from a five-letter word called faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The writer of Hebrews defines faith as the ability to see the invisible in the visible, the eternal in the earthly. The list of by faiths is a list of leaders like Abraham and Sarah who were able to do the best of things in the worst of times. Rarely did the patriarchs and matriarchs know precisely where they'd end up on the map. But then again, a GPS coordinate was never really the destination. More important was the fact that their journeys were more of the extreme spiritual kind than the kind undertaken on the back of some camel. The horizon would always push out in front of them, and somehow they recognized that the journey was going to continue beyond themselves and into the future to the great cloud of witnesses who would continue the journey living into the covenant promises of God. Now, following God's lead may indeed bring you to a new point on the map, but it will more likely lead you to shift more in your relationship with God and move towards new understanding and growth, changing your heart and mind towards God's direction in the process. Abraham had no idea where God was leading him. In fact, it was by faith that God's people moved forward. For some, they never reached what had been promised to them. And yet it starts with a first step, not with a particular destination laid out, but faith is an open-ended ticket, an invitation, an adventure that starts but never ends, even when we do. Remember the icky goo? The good news is that it doesn't last. In God's creative creation, caterpillars carry their butterfly DNA in the form of imaginal cells. They're tiny dormant building blocks of information that will eventually awaken and form a new creature. What are some imaginal cells in your life? In other words, what dreams or intuitions or instincts have you followed into new life and transformation? Or maybe you still need to follow. Maybe the dark place you found yourself in has been more than too comfortable for you. Embrace your curiosity to take a step in faith towards God's will, and you will be promised to be forever transformed in the process. To God be the glory. Amen. If you're able, let us stand as we sing our hymn of praise, standing or leaning on the everlasting arms.